Welcome back. I'm Richard Dolan. I mentioned in the last segment things are going really well in my life. They really are. I'm a happy fellow these days, and I'm happily engaged to a wonderful woman, Tracy Garbutt. Oh. She's moved in. She's here. We have all of her boxes in the dining room and living room, but she's here. Her boxes are here.
I'm so happy for you, Richard. So happy. And all of us are. All the Dolanites.
Thank you, Race, and thanks, everyone. Yeah, it's been great. We've been together now a year and a half, and it's been wonderful the whole time, I have to say. And so now we're living together, and I'm mentioning this because, I'm very happy about it, but B, it's relevant to what I want to talk about tonight. One thing that Tracy and I discovered early on, because we enjoyed having our time together, I suppose, that's the main motivation, was, you know, we realized how crazy things can be when we just allow ourselves to be dominated by all the social media, all the texting, all the phone world that is around us, all of us, every single day. I mean, in our age today, we are constantly attached to our phones. Our phones rule us in so many instances, and you can just see it wherever you go. We've noticed when we're out, we'll see other couples, young couples, often out, maybe out at dinner, hanging out, and they're staring at their phones. They're not looking at each other. They're looking at their phones. And they don't really look particularly happy when they're looking at their phones either. It's very, you know, like expressionless, you know. We've all seen this.
Richard, I was in a tire store a while back, and there was two kids across from me. And they were both like in facing phones. And I just asked them, I said, just by curiosity, are you guys like texting each other? Because they were both giggling at the same time. And they both died laughing. And they said, yeah, we are. Literally sitting right now, next to each other and texting each other.
I mean, wow.
They may have been talking about me now that I think about it.
Well, it's fascinating, right? And I was in preparation for this segment. I was just doing a little bit of reading, and so now I've learned. I mean, as if we didn't know that we're spending more and more time on social media. So teens are now spending up to 9 hours a day on social platforms, 9 hours a day. Teenagers, and 30% of all time is spent online is now allocated to social media interaction. The majority of that is on your cell phone, your mobile, 60% of it. So, and then what you have, of course, is a situation where these social media platforms are evolving to keep attracting and engaging new audiences. They've got all kinds of new live streaming features and 360-degree photos and videos. And you've got Snapchat as Instagram. One, Musical.ly are also, they're all competing for their share of the market. And you've got brands now jumping into social media with social media ad spending, which is now up to, it says here, $36 billion in 2017. So there's all this money that is pulling us into our phones and social media. It says here the average person will spend nearly 2 hours every day on social media. And that translates into 5 years and 4 months over your lifetime just on social media. And that's, of course, expected to increase as platforms develop. Right now, it says the average person will spend 7 years and 8 months watching TV in their lifetime. 7.5 years. Just TV. That's the average person. And they say as digital media consumption continues to grow at unprecedented rates, the TV number will be expected to shrink to counter that. But we're basically spending our time on Facebook, YouTube. YouTube comes in first, by the way. And the thing about YouTube is, like I have found in my own life, like I can have YouTube on in the background and have my life. So I'm not really sure. Like, it is social media. It can be, but it also doesn't have to be. I love, for example, YouTube channels that'll play like 5 hours or 6 hours of classical music or meditation music. I had it on today, all day. That's just background music. To me, I actually don't think it's right to count that as me being on social media. I'm not using it as social media. In this case, I'm using YouTube as a nice addition musically into my life. But it is definitely the case. I don't want to get off track here. Social media, we all know this, can just dominate as people spend a lot of their time at work on Facebook. And then texting. I'm watching one show right now with Tracy, Fringe, which is a great show, incidentally. It's kind of like a new version of The X-Files, essentially, and I think it's really awesome. But one thing that we both noticed on Fringe is that the investigators will be in the middle of an intense conversation, a powerful conversation with someone, and then their phone rings and they take it and they pick up the call. It's like, really? Do you do that in real life all the time? And it happens. And the thing is, like, when it happens to us in real life, implicitly what we all understand that it means is that the person who answers that call considers the phone call more important than they consider us. And there's no other way to look at it but that. So what Tracy and I have been doing, and we've been doing this every evening now, is we put our lives on airplane mode at a certain time of day, and that's the end of it. So airplane mode, if you don't know, is on most phones now, you have a feature. Like if you fly on an airplane, they ask you to put your phone on airplane mode so that it doesn't have an electronic, there's no Wi-Fi and no cell signal that comes in. So your phone is on, and you can look at your collection of photographs and pictures and listen to your music, but you don't have connection to the rest of the world. So when you're in airplane mode, your phone does not get phone calls. You don't get texts. You are cut off from the world. Fancy that. And the value that we have found in doing this has been immense. I cannot speak enough about it. We've been doing airplane mode for, I think, over a year. And I don't remember which of us prompted it. I know that for me in my life, it was just getting crazy. I was very active for a while on Facebook. I was very active, just trying to promote myself as I do as a public person. But it was becoming this all-consuming thing. And I felt it was detracting from my life. There's all kinds of studies that show the more time you spend on social media, the less happy you are. I believe this. And so what we decided to do is just like to have time for us to connect with each other, to let the other person know that you are more important to me than all the other people in the world trying to reach me right now. And I want to spend my time with you focused on this that we have, this moment, these moments that we are sharing. And a number of months ago, I was asked by someone at a conference, a very nice lady who came up to me and sort of ambushed me with a question. She just said, "Mr. Dolan, what would you recommend to someone to stay, I think she said, to like stay sane in this world? Like, what can we do to defend ourselves?" And I said, "Well, one thing you could start is by airplane moding yourself after a certain time of the day. It doesn't mean that you go offline, by the way, and that you don't have web or you don't listen to music or you don't, if you want to do research or what have you. But it does mean that you are devoting a certain amount of time each day to keeping that madness, and it can be madness, out. And after all, look, we have to ride a line here between we want to stay informed as world citizens and we want to know what's going on in the world around us. That is important. But we also, none of that matters, none of it, if our own world is hollowed out and all we're doing is bouncing like a ping pong ball, following one news item and another and another and another in a totally reactive manner. Then, I mean, honestly, if that is the content of your life, why are you even living it? What is the point? I fear for a lot of the younger generation who, it certainly seems to me, are growing up without developing the kinds of social skills that human beings had developed for thousands and indeed millions of years. That is eye contact, understanding facial expressions, nuance of personal interaction. That is complex stuff, and a large portion, maybe the dominant portion of the expansion of the human brain, is devoted to understanding other people because we're so freaking complicated. And yet what we're having now is a new generation growing up that is not really getting these skills. A, they got often their only child with helicopter parents who don't allow them to have experiences. That's one huge problem right there. And they grew up without understanding the value of risk and initiative and all of these other things that most people grew up with. But they also are growing up increasingly without direct interaction with other kids, other than highly structured environments like school, which is ultimately a totalitarian fascist nightmare increasingly. So they don't have freedom to interact in an open way. And they're doing just like, as Ray said, texting each other while sitting next to each other, because hell, that's easier than actually interacting eye contact, face to face, and seeing the other person. So what I'm going to say to you, I mean, the way to stay sane, there's lots of ways that we have to stay sane. There's a lot of things that we really want to do. We need to be aware, human beings. First of all, you have to be aware that you are in a control system. It's not neutral. It exists to maintain itself, and it maintains itself by keeping you in your place. And I know that sounds paranoid to some of you, maybe not to others, but it's a system that exists to feed off of your income, to steal from your pockets, and to keep you docile, essentially, while those people who are actually running this show, and there's a few of them, and they've got all the goodies in the world, they've got all the candy, they've got all the money, they own everything that's worth owning, and they will never, ever, ever want you to wake up. So you have got your work cut out for you. They're feeding you terrible food, basically poisonous packaged foods. They're giving you news that's not news. Education that's not education. And so your job, sorry to tell you this, is to fight your way out of that into some semblance of health and freedom. And one thing that you've got to do toward that is to recognize that this media complex around you is not your friend. One article that I read in prepping for this was it was called Five Ways to Stay Informed and Stay Sane. And I was looking for this because I thought, well, let's see if anyone else has helpful advice on this. And this is by a lady, Sylvia Hayes, from earlier this year, March of 2017. And, you know, she had some good advice, anything that I would say. She says, limit your fixes and fixations. So don't, like, fixate on the news media. She's saying educate yourself about news biases, and this is where she really falls off the rails, because she's saying, well, some network news are biased, but others aren't. She says watch ABC, NBC, and CBS; they're pretty good. And then she says you should really pay attention to independent news sources. She calls them independent, not alternative news. No, NPR, BBC, Reuters, Nation, The Guardian. They're not independent, lady. They are every bit as biased and working for the system as the ones that you don't like. All right. So in other words, what I'm saying is there's a lot of bad advice out there. There's a lot of people who are coming across as knowing how you're supposed to stay sane, and they actually don't have any answers, and they don't really know what they're talking about, unfortunately. Now, you can just say, well, what does Dolan know? But I'm telling you, I do know what I'm talking about, and you should listen to this advice. Don't trust your establishment media. Keep it out. But the most important thing, the whole point of airplane mode, it's, you know, you don't have to be in a wonderful relationship to want to do airplane mode at some point in your life. What if you're out with a close friend of yours who happens to live in your neighborhood and you go out and you're with them or you're having dinner with someone or you're on a date or anything like that, please do yourself a favor and do them the respect and try it. Try airplane moding your phone and for a little while, see what it's like to keep other people out. They'll live. They'll be there when you turn your phone back on. Meanwhile, you're having the experience of being with another human being and connecting with them in a way that human beings used to do with regularity for millennia. It's an important skill, and I'm not kidding when I'm saying like we're in danger of having that skill severely weakened and increasingly going away. And if we don't know how to relate one-on-one in a meaningful, significant way with other people, if we're only skilled at dealing with them through text and keyboards, we're losing a key part of our humanity. It's great that we have the ability to text people. I actually use texting all the time. It's easier for me than getting on the phone because I have so many people that want to talk to me. Honestly, it's often wasting my time on the phone. Some people need to talk to me. They feel the need to talk to me for a half hour when we could be done in 5 minutes. And I get that frequently enough. So for me, texting is easy. But I reserve my quality time for the people who are the quality people in my life that I want in my life every day. And I will suggest to you to do the same. I know that there are couples out there that if they were to do that airplane mode and just spend the quality time with each other, they actually would probably go crazy because maybe they don't like each other that much. There's a lot of married couples out there, and I know it. I've seen it. They go through the motions. They raise their kids, and that's the only thing keeping them together. Or they're on inertia time, and that's what it is. And so he watches the TV. He watches the game. She does her thing, and they do their social media, and they're happy. Okay, fine. If that's what keeps you happy, then I'm not here to tell you not to do it. But I am suggesting that there is a value of making yourself unavailable to the world in some way during moments that are important. You can decide what those are. Another version of airplane mode, which I have my phone set to on every day, is do not disturb. So do not disturb is I have an iPhone, but I'm sure the Android phones do the same thing. So I don't get phone calls after a certain time in the evening and until a certain time in the morning. My phone, so if someone tries to call me, they won't get through other than people who are indicated as favorites. And for me, that's three people. That's Tracy and my two kids. That's it. So after a certain time in the evening, if someone tries to call me, they're not going to get me. I'll get your text, but I won't get an automatic notification, so it won't disturb me. So that's the do not disturb feature, and I strongly recommend that too. We've got to find a way in our world of reclaiming our personal space. I really honestly think we're in danger, often many of us, of losing that. Again, I will just mention to you, what is the point of interacting with all the outside world and knowing everything that you think is going on when your own life is in a state of poverty of friends and or ideas and or personal initiatives that are valuable to you? Because again, the airplane mode doesn't have to always be for connecting with other people. It could be connecting with yourself. It could be you dedicating time to focus on things that you want to focus on. There's a quote that I read years ago from Ralph Waldo Emerson, one of my all-time favorite thinkers and writers who had a huge impact on my life. And I can only paraphrase it at this point. I can't remember the exact statement, but Emerson and Nietzsche said the same thing, as I recall. Both of them, something like, time to put away the books of other people and time to start having your own ideas and to focus on what you are about. Stop reading other people, Emerson said, and get into your own thoughts. Develop your own creativity, your own genius. And I actually really believe it's only by finding a way of walling off the outside world that we have a chance of doing that. There's a lot of noise out there, but there's a song that's playing inside you. There's music inside you, but it's quiet. You're not going to hear that music if you're allowing all the cacophony of everything else coming in at you. It takes time. You need quiet. You need solitude. So that's another value of airplane mode in your life during certain periods of time. You can decide it. I'm not telling you to just cut yourself off from the rest of the world. Tracy and I, other people about this idea, and some people find it really intriguing, and others are like, oh my God, I could never do that. And I think, well, why? Why can't you? No, well, we have too much going on. We've got a business to run. We've got all these things. We've got people demanding our attention. Okay, I get that. I get that. So are you now saying that you are now a slave to all of the demands of everyone around you? For how long? For just now? For the next year? For the next 5 years? When is this going to stop? Till the day you die? Are you ever going to make a decision to reclaim your own life for at least a little while? Again, I'm not kidding when I say there's a control system out there. It is not a neutral control system. It has an agenda. It wants your attention. It wants your money. It wants you on it all the time. It wants you engaged in it. And it's really, really good at doing that. Your job is to reclaim your independence, your sovereignty, your mind, your relationships, your people, so that you can live a valued and valuable life. You know, the day is going to come when you hit the end of the road, when you have to check out like everyone does. And what you don't want is to say, damn it, have I just blown my life? All the important things. And holy crap, I didn't do them. Because that can happen to you. That's your danger. Don't let it happen. You start by reclaiming your space. And, you know, it's not that I'm some master at this, by the way. I'm struggling through this day to day, just like you are, doing my very best to make sense out of my life, doing my best to keep it all together, to keep my sanity together sometimes, because that's how it feels like. There's just everything crashes in on me. And overall, I've got a very good ability to deal with it. But I can tell you, if I did not create my own sense of sanity around me, my own quietude, my own solitude from the rest of the world, I wouldn't be able to function. And that's the truth. So I'm hoping that the virtues of airplane moding your life from time to time or on a regular basis might sink in with you. I would encourage you to give it a try. Or at least if you're not ready for full airplane mode, go to Do Not Disturb. Start using it. All right. Hope that was valuable. With that, it is now time for me to say goodnight. I want to thank my producer, Race Hobbs, the good people in the chat room. Libertas, thanks for the links. And to you on the other end of the connection, I'm Richard Dolan, looking forward to being with you the next time. And just remember, while we learn and grow and search for the truth in all matters, let's be kind to each other. Good night.